Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a 31-20 loss for the Titans yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I am delightful this morning. How are you guys today?
We are doing very well. So, Corey, I guess we'll start with the game yesterday. A tough loss for the Titans. Their second in a row. They dropped to 5-2 on the season. What were your takeaways from the loss to Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a few things. You know, number one, I was shocked by the interception by Tannehill. I thought it really kind of changed the game because they were mowing right down the field. And that, I think, was probably the worst decision he's made since he became the starting quarterback of the Titans. First and goal. I mean, interceptions are always bad, but on first down, it's really bad because, I mean, incomplete's not bad there. You still got two more chances to score. So I thought that was a bad play and a big decision from a guy who's played exceptionally well. Special teams is really disturbing. I kind of brushed it off last week because I felt like special teams have largely been good, but this is 2 weeks in a row. We'll be seeing bad snaps, bad coverage, another missed kick, which in those conditions I thought was a questionable decision to make. But special teams did not help you win, and that's a problem. And then on defense, that was just to not register a sack or even hit the quarterback very much against the group that the Bengals put out there is just completely unacceptable. And it falls on the players, and it falls on the coaches. It falls on everyone because what they are doing is not good enough. It's not close to good enough.
Yeah, you kind of buried the lead there, Corey. I was nice of you to give the defense a little bit of grace first and then get to them. but you bring up good points because I do agree, you know, that pick, you know, if they go right down, and it's 7-3, and you got the lead. I mean, look, who knows? We have no idea how these games will unfold. I think any play or score or whatever could totally change the course of a game, but that did feel big. And then you combine it, compound it, you know, with the missed field goal. But the defense, so Vic Beasley, I'm not a huge Pro Football Focus lover or believer. I think those you have to take that with a grain of salt. But I do enjoy John Glennon tweeting them out every Monday morning. And I'm seeing Vic Beasley with a 32-2, which for anybody who follows those, you know, like bad is 60, 50. It's like kind of like a grade in school. That's an F, right? 32-2. I don't know that I've heard a score that low, but the guy is making no impact at all. It's a big investment in him. We're about midseason. Do you think it's time to just look somewhere else?
Well, I think what's been shocking to me, Joe, was how they disregarded Kamale Correa and gave him no time to play when we've seen Kamale Correa be a good player for this team to the point where he wanted to leave. And I kind of get it watching Vic Beasley play, saying, I'm not playing over this guy. I had 5 sacks for this team down the stretch last year. I get that frustration. I know Derek Roberson was sick yesterday, but we've seen them go out with these 3 linebackers over and over again when they're not producing. And so to not bring out another one is mind-boggling to me at this point. But look, Vic Beasley lacked fire because he didn't show up to camp on time. You don't see any urgency out of him on the field. And the only time you hear his name is when he's offsides or losing containment. And I've never met Vic Beasley. I don't have anything for him or against him. All I know is for $9.5 million, he is not helping this football team win games at all. And for a guy who had 15 sacks in a season, you say, what the heck is going on? Because, you know, he's not even close at this point. So, I mean, to me, who else do you put on the field? Well, you got to try to get Derek Roberson on the field because we've seen Derek Roberson get sacks. Okay, we've seen him do it. They've got to get somebody on the field who can get there. because right now they have 7 sacks in 7 games and against 4 backup offensive linemen on a line that wasn't very good to begin with, they didn't get a single sack, and that's just embarrassing.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So Corey, after the game yesterday, Mike Vrabel said he's certain that not hiring a defensive coordinator is not a factor with this defense. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I like the follow, Joe. That was good. That was good stuff. No. We never got an explanation for the decision to not hire a defensive coordinator. I've always thought that there was somebody he wants and he knew he couldn't get for a year, and maybe that's it and maybe that's not it. But I do know this, and look, I could be completely wrong, but this is me, my philosophy in life, and the way I look at things. You have to have someone who's in charge. And so, like, the Dallas Cowboys, nobody ever looks as the head coach as the guy in charge as long as Jerry Jones is there. And I always feel like that neuters the head coach because the players just look at him and go, you're not in charge. Jerry's in charge. And they don't follow, you know, because who do the players always blame? They always end up blaming the coaches there. Shane Bowen is not the defensive coordinator. You know how come I know that? Because next to his name it says outside linebackers coach. The players know that. They know that he was not given the defensive coordinator's job. So it's not his job. It's Vrabel's job. Until it's someone else's job, it's Vrabel's job. And the only year Vrabel's been a defensive coordinator, his defense finished 32nd out of 32 teams in the NFL. Maybe he is a great defensive coordinator, and for whatever reason, it's not happening. I think he's a great position coach. I think he's done a wonderful job as head coach. But as far as running a defense, it wasn't good in Houston. It was the worst in the league. And this defense seems to be getting worse. So, you know, if he sees something, then he needs to fix it. And, you know, we always hear, we need to coach better, we need to play better. Well, then coach better, because right now it's not good enough.
So I'm getting some people asking me, okay, they got to hire a DC, right? And it's like, well, no, you can't hire a D coordinator
mid-season
and say, okay, this is our new defense now, guys. I mean, hey, I guess you could argue, could it be worse after yesterday? But
the only thing you could do is if Dean came back. That would be the only thing you could do.
Getting the band back together. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Dean's defense and the communication would be there. And by the way, don't we hear that from the players every week? Communication, communication, communication.
And coordination.
Well, that's my point. What is communication? It's coordination. So, sounds like a void to me.
Yeah, so that's just not happening. I mean, they have to. These guys have to figure it out with the titles they have, and in that room, and Vrabel's talking about coming earlier and all that stuff, right? But they can make changes with personnel. Do you think that John Robinson needs to do something here before the deadline tomorrow?
Well, I've advocated for a while here that you can't. I mean, with the team's cap situation, I can't see them getting rid of high draft picks. So they have to have, somebody with lower draft picks. I think the New York Giants are a fire sale waiting to happen. So if Golden is still there, if you can find someone who can get to the quarterback, I mean, it can't be worse than what you've got. Unless you truly believe the guys you got are going to get there. But they got to figure it out. I don't see a huge move because, who's available? Who's available? I mean, Golden from the Giants would be the only one that I can really think of. I mean, I think there's some talk about in Washington Kerrigan being available.
Yeah, they've said no, though, apparently. Or Schefter reported that they won't trade him, so, yeah.
Yeah,
McKinley,
I mean,
Tack McKinley, take another Falcon who's not playing well. You could do that.
Yeah, I don't ever understand this desire to take people from bad teams. And that doesn't mean they're all bad players. But when bad teams don't want to keep them, it should tell you something.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey, last thing for you before we let you go here. Looking ahead to Sunday, you have watched the Chicago Bears very closely. What sort of matchup are we in for with that Chicago Bears offense going up against this Titans defense? It's going to be a lot of fun.
We are going to have that third down defense and aptitude tested massively. Okay. Nick Foles is not very good. I do like some of the Bears receivers, though. I think Darnell Mooney can play. He's a rookie from Tulane. And Allen Robinson can play. And the Titans, I mean, Jonathan Joseph's just done.
Oh, man.
I mean, he's just in it. And I feel bad for him because he's in a position he shouldn't be in. You know, he wasn't signed to this team to play the position he's playing right now. But they've had so many injuries that he's been forced out there way, way too much. And he just physically can't do it. I mean, this guy was a great player for a long time, but Father Time is just catching up with him. I mean, Joe Burrow just looked at him and just went to work. I mean, it was sad. So those guys will see the tape, and the Titans need to get Adoree Jackson back on the field. When was the last time Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler were on the field together?
Carolina last year.
Yeah.
Carolina. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long, long time. So look, the Bears offensive line isn't very good, but four backups from Cincinnati just held them sackless. Nick Foles is a statue. So he's not as mobile as Joe Burrow. They don't run the ball particularly well. They shouldn't score a lot of points, but, you know, their defense is pretty good. And if they score 21 or 23, it might be enough.
Yeah, certainly going to be interesting. It's a test that's going to be interesting to watch. The Chicago Bears offense against the Titans defense. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, appreciate you taking time to join us, man.
No problem. Hey, Joe, congrats on your Spartans.
Oh,
what a victory.
Yeah, there's a young child running around our neighborhood all day with his little mini Paul Bunyan trophy, apparently. So I was not there to witness this, but apparently he's talking a lot of trash.
Yeah, good for him.
That was wild.
Old Jim Harbaugh, the gift that keeps on giving. Thanks, yeah. Corey. We appreciate it, man.
They should play for a pair of khakis from now on.
They really should.
The khaki cup.
Be a much better trophy, I think. Just walk around in Harbaugh's khakis.
He stopped wearing those, by the way.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Couldn't tuck his sweater into him anymore.
Corey, hey, thanks, Corey. Man. We'll catch up with you soon.
Later, guys.
Man, what a victory for your Spartans.
Did not
see that one coming.
Not my Spartans.
But you went to school there.
Yeah, but, dude, you cover a beat for 20 years. They're not your Spartans anymore. But
I'm aware.
I feel good for my family. They're happy.
There you go. When we come back, we'll dive back into this inept performance for the Titans defensively yesterday. How in the world did they not get a sack against this offensive line? We'll discuss that next. But first, 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 is your exclusive home for the Masters. Tune in to 102.5 The Game for leaderboard updates on Thursday and Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, ESPN 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Bellmead for all your golfing needs. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Clearly, you know, the fixing of these problems doesn't seem to be getting fixed with the third down issues. Defensively, what do you see that's going wrong at this point? And do you feel like it has anything to do with just not having a actual defensive coordinator at this point?
I mean, it's the same old stuff that we've been talking about, not being coordinated, you know, a play here, a guy here. But at the end of the day, we just have to be better. I mean, if I had the right answer totally to figure out why we wasn't getting on the field on third down today, you know, I would tell you. But, I mean, obviously I got to watch the film. But, you know, you can't start slow on the road, especially against a team like this. We knew that this team was not a bad team despite their record. So we didn't start fast. And it's some good football out there, but like I said, just not consistent enough.
That was Titans safety Kevin Byard after the loss yesterday, 31-20 for the Titans against the Bengals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. It is interesting how you're asked about, you know, if the defensive coordinator not having one is a problem. You say no, and then the first thing you talk about is lack of coordination.
Yeah, good question by Kayla Anderson. And, yeah, that's why that was the lead quote in my column today, because, no, our problem is, the coordination. Like, wait, what? So is it a problem or isn't it? And I do think Kevin is talking about – I don't think Kevin's just talking coaching there. I think he's talking about the whole thing. And he also talked other times about, you know, practice. And he's talked at times in the past about, you know, it sounds like maybe some guys – need to be more focused. And I mean, look, Kevin Byard is going to lead the team probably every year in extra time studying film and all those little extras that give you an edge as a player. And so sometimes guys like that get frustrated with guys around him who are not doing the same thing. And I'm sure there's a bunch of guys who aren't doing what he's doing. And, you know, his play is suffering for this too. This is the first time Kevin Byard has played in a bad defense.
Yeah.
This defense, like Corey Curtis just said, they're on pace for 16 sacks this year. Last year they struggled. They knew they had to fix the pass rush. They got 41 sacks. They were middle of the pack. A lot of it.
16.
Yeah. A lot of it was scheming up and all that stuff. Again, coordination kind of matters. But still, 41 sacks. They're on a pace for 16. It's unbelievable, really. Now, I want to ask you, we just talked about the incredible PFF score of Vic Beasley, 32-2. I don't know that I've heard anything that low. That's, again,
that's like me on like an Algebra 2 test, just 32-2. It's not good.
Yeah, that's about what I would do. I mean, honestly, I think Algebra 1, I would probably be that bad now. But, yeah, I mean, now, again, PFF, you got a Pro Football Focus. You take it with a grain of salt. There's some, you know, there's some validity to watching a game without knowing everything about what's happening on a play and what's supposed to be happening. But I want you to guess, and this is my guy John Glennon tweets these out every Monday, your guess for the top, let's say top three, defensive grades for the Titans would be what?
Oh, who
would you guess?
Well, at number one, I'm going to go like lack of options because they never threw the ball his way. Malcolm Butler. I'll put him at number one just because he had to do like two things.
Excellent.
Is that number one?
He got a 90.5.
Wow.
Which is a high grade. Now, he had the PI late, and that was costing. It was close, too. I mean, it was very questionable. But, yeah, I thought he played well yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that one doesn't shock me. Who's number two?
See, this is where I feel like what I see and what Pro Football Focus sees are probably not the same thing. I thought Jayon Brown was pretty good yesterday, but the way you're looking at me right now tells me Jayon Brown's not number two.
Clowney.
What?
77.7. Hey, listen, I'll say this, and that's how bad they were. At least there were a handful of plays where he beat his guy and got into the backfield. Now, he didn't make the play. You got to make the play. But that's how bad their defense was, too. I would not have guessed he would be second, but I'm not surprised he'd be in the top five because they were terrible, and he at least was a guy you saw him, right, beating a blocker at times on his own.
I suppose.
Like, who else did? I mean, honestly, I didn't see Jeffrey Simmons yesterday at all.
No, it was not a great day for Jeff Simmons.
And if he's not, again, against that interior, now, I think everybody's going to be doubling him. Why would you not double him? So you have to take that into account. And then you blame the other guys who aren't getting doubled. But still. So I'll give you the rest real fast. Landry was next, then Brown, and then Rashawn Evans.
Okay.
But, yeah, and Landry, again, is this guy who, like, I give Landry a lot of credit for he is busting his butt out there. You know, he really does play hard. It's just that he can't also quite come up with the play.
Right. That's a problem. I mean,
but that's your top guys right now. You know, that's how bad it is for this defense.
Well, you summed it up. You brought up a play earlier in the show where Landry got in the backfield. He had Joe Burrow. He's gone. Joe Burrow gets away. I think Landry had him literally three different times in that play and could not bring him down.
Right.
And Burrow escapes. And you're like, okay, well, at least he's back there in the backfield. And I think they did make the stop on that third down, which, as we know, is a rarity with this group. But Landry just not finishing right now on those type of plays, but at least, you know, with him being out there every play, he's getting back there sometimes, which you can't say that as much for Clowney or certainly Vic Beasley.
It was a massively frustrating play.
Yes.
Totally sums up what's been going on with them, and it was one of the best defensive plays of the day because they got to stop on third down. It was one of their five stops on third down out of 15.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Ty Smith is better than Jonathan Joseph. At least he can run. For a veteran, he has no field awareness and he can't cover. If you can't get pressure with four, scheme it up better and don't leave Jonathan Joseph on an island.
Yeah, it sounds great. But like at some point, you're going to sit there and you're going to give Jonathan Joseph extra help all the time. You will get exploited elsewhere. It's not like teams are shaking in their boots at throwing at Chris Jackson or even Malcolm Butler, right? I agree that you got to scheme up pressure that works. You've got to be better scheming up everything, no question. But I think the better answer for Jonathan Joseph is to get him off the field. And again, Ty Smith took his place for the Pittsburgh game. So clearly the coaching staff has been thinking about this for a while now, right? So they go Ty Smith, and Ben Roethlisberger says, oh, okay, I was going to throw at 33, but I think I'll throw at 23 now.
Didn't make a whole lot of difference.
Down the field, and all of a sudden you get Joseph back on the field.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Says, Porth called it on Friday that November 12th Thursday night game will tell us a lot. He also called the 3-plus touchdown Cincinnati Bearcat win. So pointing out Porth's provision there. Look at you.
I'm glad he's pointing all that out and not the fact that I went 0 for 5 in my called shots for the Titans-Bengals game.
Can you remind me of those?
All right. Over 53. Yep. Tyler Boyd, 100 receiving yards.
Could have.
Jonnu Smith, 100 receiving yards.
Bigger.
Vic Beasley gets a sack. And Steven Koskowski doesn't miss a field goal or an extra point.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
That's tough.
I think the Beasley one, you might actually have to like sit out a week and call your shot after that. we'll let you play.
Well, you know what?
What about you?
Well, hey. Yeah,
you called your shot for a guy that wasn't even playing.
But he would have gotten a sack.
Oh, would he? Okay.
I can always say that.
He certainly couldn't have been worse than Vic Beasley.
I mean,
I'm comfortable saying that.
And it, like Corey Curtis said, I also still don't understand the three outside linebackers. You do that if you feel great about all three of them, right?
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe from Maryland texting in, play closer coverage on the outside for the love of God. Safety help and let the backers play the middle. It seems like third down is being exploited on the outside. And that goes back to what an earlier texter brought up of Jonathan Joseph. It's 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, and you're playing 10, 11 yards off the ball. I would assume because you're afraid of getting beat deep. At some point, either Jonathan Joseph or the Titans defensive coaches have to make some adjustments there, because that's 2 weeks in a row where that's been a big issue. And who am I kidding? It's more than 2 weeks in a row. It's been a big issue all season long.
Yeah. So, this is where you get to Vrabel and you get to Dean Pease in terms of defensive philosophy. Very much believers in, I think every coach and probably a lot of people hate the term bend but don't break. But they are big believers in don't give up the big play. I mean, I've heard Dean Pease talk about this so many times. Don't let it go over your head. If you make a team earn their way down the field, usually something's going to happen. They're going to turn it over. You're going to get a tip pass at the line. You're going to get a stop, whatever. Like, don't give up the big play. A big believer in that, and we are seeing that. But I agree with everybody who's like, you got to try to be more aggressive here. And it's situational, too. Again, Buffalo is going to burn you over the top, for example.
Right.
Big arm, big. But the last 2 weeks, I think you could have been more aggressive against, one, with that offensive line and a windy day yesterday. And then last week, Roethlisberger is just dinking you to death. So I think this is where you look at change something. And maybe it is, at times, it's just like the personnel out there is so limited that you feel like you have to play that way. But it's obviously not working.
When we come back, we'll continue to get your reaction to the Titans' 31-20 loss to the Bengals yesterday. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also get to a stat that continues somehow to go the wrong way for the Titans. That's coming up next. But first, I got a word from FanDuel. And you're watching the game, you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal here in the state of Tennessee, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want, and if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet back, up to $1,000 in bonus site credit. So you can take it another shot at the end zone and on the house. And I got in on this yesterday. It was a good day for Robbie on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Really enjoyed it yesterday. The Indianapolis Colts -2.5 against the Detroit Lions. That was money all day long. Really enjoyed playing that. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as the same game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you get on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Today is the final day to enter the Game Nashville Sports Costume Contest presented by Wilson County Hyundai. Did you or your kid dress up as a sports star for Halloween? If you did, submit your picture at thegamenashville.com for a chance to win $100 gift card to Nashville Underground. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson, Ryan Porth taking you through
Morth.
This Monday. More!
Wow!
Well, you combined in the pigskin pick'em. I knew I would mess that up at some point. Look, I have gone 3.5 weeks through this show, and I haven't called it Morning Drive. So we're off to a good start.
Rykees Porth? Porthson?
Yeah. Porthson.
I like Morth.
That wasn't your best work.
Yeah, sorry. But Morth.
Nothing like Cladavian Jowney when you asked John Robinson about
Cladavian
that.
Cladavian Jowney.
Little did we know how things would unfold from there.
Yes, we did.
He may actually switch his name to Cladavian Jowney.
What a time.
Although
I think Cladavian Jowney would have more sacks than Jadavian Clowney right now.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Although Pro Football Focus, number 2 ranked player on the team.
That makes me immediately want to crumble up Pro Football Focus and just toss it aside.
By the way, I haven't ripped Jared Stillman yet. It's been 2.5 hours. Jared, please stop angry, aggressive texting me while I'm working at a game.
Oh, did he get after you yesterday
a
little bit?
I'm just trying to cover the game. He's coming at me, man.
About clowning?
I won't share. Yeah, mostly.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, how about Beasley? And then he's like, oh, yeah, you're what about? I'm like, okay, but who's worse? I mean, come on, Jared. Give me a break, man. I actually am excited to hear him today.
Oh, he's going to rip you. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, he probably will. I'm sure it'll be a very entertaining show all the way around.
Let's go to Twitter. Our good friend Johnny tweets in, you guys are gonna have to help me this week. Do I dare finally use the Titans in my Survivor pool? I figure I'll eventually have to use them, and after this week, there's not a lot of games left to use them.
Did you see my response?
No.
# wait for Lions.
That's a long time to wait.
It is.
But it's pretty risky using the Titans in a Survivor pick right now.
Yeah. Like
against anybody.
Don't you want to kind of just hold off on them altogether for a while?
Yeah, maybe.
And when the mighty silver and blue comes in here,
maybe
that's when you strike. If you're still alive then, strike.
Oh, man. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, I know Jared was outraged on Twitter, but were you guys outraged by the non-call on the hit on Humphreys and then the refs calling it on the Titans' defense later in the game? I thought that hit on Humphreys, for them to not throw a flag on that play in today's NFL, regardless of what the intentions are, the contact was there. I thought it was atrocious. I thought it was an atrocious miscall.
I'm going to disagree a little bit. So I think that he'll get a fine, and he should, because it's still a dangerous play and you're trying to clean that up. But honestly, watching it live and then watching it again on the replay, it's a very weird play. He doesn't have a clean smack on his helmet. He hits him in the back, and then Humphrey's helmet smashes against the turf. I mean, it's a dangerous play. Your quarterback puts you in that position. I think there'll probably be a fine from it because you have to clean this up, and you just have to take all those plays out of the game. But that was not a dead-on helmet-to-helmet smash. It was a weird hit him in the back, and then his head hits the turf. So
that's not the way the rule's written. The rule's written contact. There was contact. Throw the flag. The play is right there. You're looking at it. The ball's going there. The fact that a flag wasn't thrown on that play, to me, is inexcusable. I don't know what these refs are looking at. And it's a 15-yard penalty every single time, and no flag thrown. Yeah. I thought it was ridiculous.
That's fair. I mean, the way that you're right. The way that they've tried to clean this up, anything, you throw something. I guess, you know, if I look at that and even the play they called it earlier, I think that's a lot more clear cut. I still think it was an awkward play. But, I think that there'll be a fine resulting from that. And, look, the bottom line is when someone gets hurt like that, it just increases the chances that there's going to be some kind of reaction.
I'm starting to become numb to poor officiating.
Yeah.
Like, you should just expect it week to week.
It's bad.
Not only that hit and then the fact that they called it against the Titans, but there was a PI call on Jonathan Joseph in the first half that was atrocious, in my opinion, in the end zone. And then the Malcolm Butler PI at the end of the game where Jayon Brown got the pick, did not think that was PI. But, I mean,
that one
there
are
bad calls every single game, every single week in the NFL.
Sure.
And for some reason this year, the officiating seems to be worse. So I mean, I'm sure there were calls that you could nitpick that were called to the Bengals that should not have been called.
That Joseph play was, you know, when I watched it live, I was like, absolutely, because he was face guarding with contact. I agree, like on the replay, it was a really good PBU, you know, in slow mo, it's like that was good. But in live action, I was like, oh, God, he mugged him, you know? So that's also sometimes the benefit of the slow mo. It's easier for us to see stuff like that.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If Clowney and Beasley can't get any pass rush, we need to bench them. Jonathan Joseph should not be starting on the football team. Old Man River can't run anymore. What do you make of the idea of benching Clowney and Beasley?
And starting, I mean, we know Landry. We know Landry's going to play darn near every snap. But who are you starting next to Landry? Look, Clowney is not – Clowney needs to make more plays. He's not even coming close to earning $13 million. Not close. But you don't bench him. You have to play him and keep hoping, you know, that he finally gets home with some of these plays. Beasley, I would agree. Beasley, I would look elsewhere at this point. I'm seeing nothing. I'm seeing no indication that he's close to making a play.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you make of the idea of bringing in Dan Quinn as a consultant on defense? Now that he's not a head coach, maybe he can get back to what he's good at.
There's just zero chance of any of this stuff. It's not even worth, like, Mike Vrabel decided not to hire a coordinator, decided not to name a coordinator, decided to go this route. And right now it doesn't look like a good decision. There is zero chance he's going to bring in some outsider right now and be like, consult us on defense, please. Just put it out of your mind. If any fix that they're going to do that's like a change right now is personnel. And then they better coach better and play better. By golly.
By golly. They better do that. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter says, Clowney all of a sudden is a bad player. If you think about changes from last year, play caller, Logan Ryan, Casey, the suite had a bad offseason, putting the blame on John Robinson. How much heat do you think he deserves right now for what we're seeing on that side of the ball specifically?
Well, see, when you ask that question, there's always like the bigger picture and the tighter picture. The tighter picture of last offseason, that's looking terrible right now. I mean, you think about drafting Isaiah Wilson in the first round, not drafting a pass rusher. I mean, I thought they were going to draft a pass rusher and a receiver and maybe multiple pass rushers. But when they didn't, I was like, okay, so Clowney is the plan. And I agree certainly on Casey. I think right now, I always looked at that. As soon as they traded him, I said, that's a Clowney move. They believe they're going to be better getting rid of that salary and applying it to someone on the edge and having Simmons in there be a monster, and they're going to have a better defense. And I understood the thinking, too, but it hasn't worked out. I just think that Jarrell Casey had more good football to give, and I know he's hurting out for the year anyway, but Casey and Simmons, I was looking forward to seeing that for another year. And right now, Simmons doesn't have much help up there, and I think, like yesterday, you saw it. Teams can just focus on him and take him out of a game.
Yeah, but even so, like, he's good enough to me where games like yesterday, especially against a line like that, that should not happen.
I agree.
We talk about how good Jeffrey Simmons has been this year, and I think he's certainly had moments where he's looked really good. That has not happened consistently enough. And with that offensive line that Cincinnati trotted out there yesterday, there's no excuse for him to be as pedestrian as he was yesterday in that game.
I agree. I think it's – but so let's go to the Robinson decision. So you were willing to say, let's put it all on this kid who came off an ACL and was very good last year. But you're like, he's going to be a star. He will control it up front, and then we'll try to do better stuff around him. I just think Casey and Simmons, 1 year together fully of them, could have been interesting. And I think they'd be better against the run right now. I think they'd be more sound. Because right now, again, they haven't played a team that stresses the run in a while.
No.
They are still getting run on. And the last time they played a team that really tried to run the ball on was Dalvin Cook and the Vikings, and we saw how that went. So, you know, there's just problems all over the place. But, yeah, it was absolutely – so how much heat does Robinson – that was the original question. How much heat? I mean, look, there's all kinds of criticism deserved for what's happening right now in this past offseason. He also – has them in position to be 5-2 and got the AFC Championship game. I mean, the big picture is he's done a very good job as GM. The smaller picture is, man, he had a bad offseason.
Yeah.
And right when you're so close. And so now he's got a little more than 24 hours to try to do something. I really think he needs to try.
I think so too. We heard Vrabel talk yesterday about, you know, doing things differently around here. To me, right now, the one thing differently you can do is different players. Like, that's what it has to be at this point. Adoree coming back, which, by the way, he's been designated to return from injured reserve. This is going into the third week, isn't it? So don't you, like, have to bring him back this week, or he's going to be on IR?
That's right. You designate for return as a three-week window. So, yeah, so that's very confusing and surprising. I was sure he was playing, after watching him on the practice field, that he was going to play against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Then he's not on the field Friday at all, so who knows? Who knows what that – I mean, you know, obviously they've had some of these things. Nobody's fault with some of these injuries, and that's one of them. But like you've said already on the show, Robbie – Adoree Jackson's going to help, but he's not fixing all this stuff. There's a lot of stuff that one corner won't fix.
When we come back, how much heat should be on Mike Vrabel for not hiring a defensive coordinator heading into this season? We'll discuss that next. Continue to get your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, let's get to a hot topic that emerged after the loss yesterday for the Titans 31-20 against Cincinnati. A lot of people on Twitter, on social media last night talking about how the Titans elected to go into this season without hiring a defensive coordinator. Shane Bowen, Mike Vrabel, both have their hands on this defense right now, but they don't have an actual defensive coordinator by title. How much heat do you think Mike Vrabel deserves on that front, given what we've seen so far with this defense? And Corey Curtis from News 2 joined us earlier on the show and also brought up the point, you know, Vrabel has been a defensive coordinator in this league one time, and it was in Houston. It did not go well in Houston. Now, there were a lot of injuries and a lot of things that happened in Houston that you could point to. But so far, with Vrabel / Shane Bowen this year, the defense has been atrocious. How much blame does he deserve for not making a move and bringing in a DC this year?
Yeah, I do think that season is, you know, they really were, I mean, they lost their best players, you know. I mean, and when he came in as head coach, that was like, gosh, so you hired someone who's been a coordinator 1 year and it was terrible. You know, that was like, man, that's a leap to bring him in as head coach. He's obviously been a good head coach. Does he deserve heat? Yeah. And I mean, for not really being willing to talk about it this whole time too, like who's calling plays. We have to, you know, do the amateur detective thing to try to figure that out. You finally figure out that it's Shane Bowen. He's calling plays, but he's not the DC. If he had named Shane Bowen the DC, what would we always say?
He'd be getting hammered right now.
Right. Like, you got to fire him. He's not the guy. He's not ready. So if Vrabel knew they were going to stink, then he's done a nice job here of, you know, taking heat off Shane Bowen and having more on himself. But I think that without knowing, again, a mountain of information they all know in those offices, we all see what's happening with the defense. You can't tell me coordinator doesn't have something to do with it. And if it doesn't have anything to do with it, then why in the world did you make such a big deal about getting Dean Pease out of retirement? It was a huge hire for you, and we saw it play out that way. And I think with Vrabel, first of all, I'll tell you right now, I promise you, in 2021, the Tennessee Titans will have a defensive coordinator. I don't know who it'll be. There will be a defensive coordinator on the Tennessee Titans. I bet you Amy Adams Strunk clearly makes that clear at some point. But I do think that Vrabel's a big hire people you know person, and LaFleur kind of was brought in for him. He tried to get Ryan Day. We know that. That would have been a good OC hire.
Yeah.
Pretty good coach at Ohio State. And LaFleur was the outsider who came in. Vrabel likes to keep it with people that he's worked with. You know, Shane Bowen, he worked with him when he was a grad at Ohio State. I think this is one of those things where it's worth looking and saying, let's get someone with new ideas and maybe doesn't have the exact philosophy or the exact same defense I do, but can make us better. I think that's going to be an adjustment moving forward. But right now, there's no adjustment. There's no adjustment on the coaching side other than internally it's going to shuffle the chairs. But those guys have got to figure it out the rest of this year.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, look, guys, I love Mike Vrabel, but I feel like 70% of this is a good number to give him for blame. I feel like he tried to pull a Bill Belichick with not hiring a defensive coordinator. It's hard enough being a head coach, and now you got to call plays and do everything else defensively. We need a coordinator. Also, if we don't get a kicker, I may cry.
Well, the kicker change might happen. You're not getting a coordinator this year.
And there's a lot of people out there saying go back and get Dean Pease because it's just not going to happen. Nah. Like, he's in retirement.
I mean, hey. Mike Fisher, do the Mike Fisher thing. You know?
Just go grab him in like December.
Yeah, bring him in for the playoffs. Guy Ritchie tweets at me. Relax, Vrabel's just waiting to land Matt Patricia once he's fired.
Yeah,
the Matt Patricia Bill O'Brien coordinator combo next
year.
Yes. Oh man, excitement in Nashville.
And we've had a couple people on the text line the last couple weeks text about Bill O'Brien coming in now for the Titans. He's more of an offensive guy. He's not a defensive guy.
Yeah,
he's not going to come in and like save the defense.
I think he's always been an offensive coach, right?
Yes.
I believe so. Yeah. But hey, bring in somebody. I understand the sentiment. It's not going to happen. These coaches are going to figure it out. And then next year, it'll be different.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul texts in. He deserves all the blame for not hiring a defensive coordinator. He's clearly not good at defensive coordinator himself, and his smug attitude about it is unsettling. Ego is likely going to be his undoing.
Ooh, we got Vrabel's downfall already here. Look, I understand the anger. I do. And I agree. I don't like how he's handled it in terms of just not talking about it. I mean, that's how he is on a lot of things. I think that I'd love to know what the whole process was going through this. And frankly, maybe a good question today. Was it all along, we're not going with a coordinator. I don't have anybody I really like out there. So we're going to do it this way? Or was there some real interest in other people that just didn't work out?
Yeah.
And then it got to this? Was there a thought of making Shane Bowen the actual DC or making himself the DC? I mean, no one's the DC. Either way, it hasn't worked out. I'm still also putting all this one step below. For people who are saying 700%, I'm still putting this below the personnel failing on the field. Not that the coaches don't have a hand in that. Not that they aren't responsible, but any system, any coordinator, any coach, you go beat a blocker and make a play. You're being paid $13 million. You're being paid $9.5 million.
Yeah.
I still am starting there. And then we'll go to the coordinator thing.
And, Joe, you asked after the game yesterday, Mike Vrabel, about the defensive coordinator or the lack of defensive coordinator heading into this season. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say.
Mike, in particular, in defensive coordination, do you regret that you didn't name or find a defensive coordinator? How much of a factor is that in all these struggles right now?
I would say that that's not a factor. I'm positive that that's not a factor. You know, we have to continue to coach better and play better, but I'm certain that that's not that's what leading to us giving up points and us not getting off the field on third down.
Why are you certain about that, Mike?
Because I'm sitting there and I watch everything that we do, and I watch the tape, I watch how we coach, and I watch how we practice, and I watch how we play, Joe.
So some pretty strong words there from Mike Vrabel. He's certain that the defensive coordinator or lack thereof is not contributing right now on the field defensively. That's not why they're struggling.
This is the benefit of Zoom calls. You know, like there's no possibility of being strangled, you know, when you're on Zoom asking those questions. Yeah, he's obviously upset about that suggestion. But so it'll be interesting to hear what he says today, because sometimes you take someone right after a game and they're going to be a certain way, and then they go through the film and relax and, you know, it'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of different message from him today, but it makes no sense.
I mean, he didn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room there.
He didn't. You're right. But, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, I can't get there. I can't get to the idea that the coaching, which he says coach better and play better all the time, that the coaching isn't a factor in this. How could it not be?
But he watches the game, Joe. He watches the games.
Well, look, hey, again, there's so much more information coaches have than us, and this is what a lot of times they'll eventually get to the point of, and like Malarkey got like this sometimes, you're all a bunch of idiots, you don't know what you're looking at, right? Which, again, like if that were true, then none of us are watching the football, okay?
Right.
Like, we can see if a guy makes a tackle or not, or if a guy's out of position, or if a guy can't cover a guy. And we also saw the last couple of years what a team with limitations could still do on defense and be a good defense. They've had a good defense in 2 years with Dean Pease, with a lot of the same personnel limitations they have now. Not all the injuries that they have, but even like last year. Look at what they lost, Butler. They had a Dory out at some point. They're running out Tremaine Brock and stuff, right? And they still figured out a way to be pretty solid and sound and get stops. How could that not be related to some pretty significant extent to Dean Pease and what he was doing on a daily basis?
You can't tell me that this third down defense and how atrocious it is isn't related to coaching at all. Like, you just can't tell me that. It's 62.5% conversion rate. Like, I said it last week, you almost have to try to be that bad on third down defensively. And let's not act like the pass rush last year was just like this overwhelming force that other teams couldn't stop. They had 41 sacks last year, roughly middle of the pack. You said earlier they're on pace for 16 right now. It's not even just about the sack number. Like, just get to the quarterback every now and then would be great. Right now they're not getting to the quarterback at all. And that's not all on, you know, just the personnel out there. I think you could make an argument that theoretically the personnel they have rushing the passer right now should be better than it has been when Dean Pease was here. So you can't tell me that it has nothing to do with coaching or coordination or anything of that sort. I think it's just, honestly, a ridiculous statement by Mike Vrabel to make. And I get it. It's after the game. You're frustrated. And you want no part of that Zoom press conference. I understand it, but it's a ridiculous statement to make. It has to have something to do with not hiring a defensive coordinator. It just makes no sense to me.
Right. Now, so what you just said all there, that does get into the Vrabel, the separation of blame. You know, who because I agree that those guys should be. I mean, you're paying $22.5 million. So is that bad decision-making to bring those guys in? Is it poor coaching? Why they're not making plays? I mean, I think it's more on the guys. I think it's more on the decisions you made with personnel. But like you said, like Dean Pease figured out ways, and these guys are not figuring out ways, and they don't appear to be making adjustments that work or making adjustments quick enough in some of these games. And again, I mean, so much of it is on coaching. It has to be.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris from South Nashville texts in, "When you have a vacancy in any position, there's no accountability. It's the same for any business." That going back to what we talked about, you know, with Shane Bowen. Like, it's difficult for me to really get on Shane Bowen all that much because he's not the defensive coordinator. Like, he's not the guy that's been given the title. So, to me, that falls back on Vrabel. It's very difficult for me to criticize Shane Bowen calling these plays when you're not comfortable giving him the title.
Right. This would be a very different discussion if Shane Bowen was D coordinator, and it would just be, well, you made a bad hire at D coordinator and he can't figure it out and you got to change this. So Vrabel has successfully, you know, removed heat in advance from Shane Bowen, but he's put it more on himself. And he hasn't been willing to really talk about the whole process there with the defense. But that's just going to be more and more of a discussion as this continues to happen, because we're not going to get any word from him or from them about any sort of change in coaching and duties. And like we won't hear anything about it, right?
No.
And maybe there will be something, but you can't do something major. You're not bringing anybody in from the outside this year. But they've got to figure something out too. And I'm sure there's all kinds of discussion. And who knows, at this point, Vrabel could have taken over defensive play calling yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a fair guess that he probably has vetoed a whole bunch of calls, you know, during the year, and it's not working. Sometimes it is like, can someone make a play?
Yeah. And so far, not very many people making plays on that side of the ball. When we come back, we will switch gears, move to the other side of the ball for the Titans. How concerned are we about the slow starts offensively the last 2 weeks? Is that becoming a trend for this Titans offense? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.